Blog Talk Radio.
Well, here we go, ladies and gentlemen, across the airwaves. If it's Saturday morning in Los Angeles, it's time for that Doc Talk podcast hosted by a brother, a mentor, and a friend to me, Dr. Greg Roscoe, in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. Yours truly, Mark Mancini, producing this out in L.A., 347-205-9631. It goes by quick, 60 minutes. It's more popular than Dan Rather doing 60 minutes, but that's a story for another day. If you miss it, catch the archive, tell your friends, blogtalkradio.com/Mancini Sports Podcast Platforms, wherever you subscribe to podcasts powered now by Mancini Media. So without further ado, more of him, less of me. Let me lay the red carpet down, put the podium in its place, hand off the mic. The threes. Doc, first of all, how are you? Second of all, how can people get a hold of you? And third of all, when they created women in this world, the world was definitely complete.
Wow, that's a mouthful. Mark, we're doing well. I was down under the weather this week. How I'm bouncing back. I'm doing well. Our listeners can get a hold of me, GJRMD308Outlook.com. You know, with our healthcare program, you know, we're talking about how do we keep people well? And indeed, you know, what are the factors that help get our listeners there and maintain things? You know, as a physician, our goal is the same thing. We want to go ahead, maintain our patients' health, keep them out of crisis management. Just interestingly, Mark, I've had several emails over the last maybe 2 weeks, people saying to me, you know, Doc, okay, I have health insurance. I have prescription plans. I have dental insurance. Yeah, I see the provider periodically, but me and my family still get sick. You know, it never seems that we're over this, that we're stable, that we're not having crises with our health. You know, where are we going, you know, with our health care here, going to our physicians? And I thought that was a very, very good question. Indeed, we want to do, and I'm speaking of the medical community, we want to do more than crisis management. You know, somebody coming in with a bloody nose, a sinus infection, you know, acute appendicitis, you know, problems like that. And, you know, we're having a fantastic guest on today, and she comes from the alternative medicine world, if I can use that, Marianne. Her name is Marianne Costello. She has quite a resume of healthcare experiences and certifications. And Marianne, I know that you're a licensed massage therapist. You're also a board certified holistic health practitioner. The list goes on here. You've also been published, where I think you had a book in 2018-19 that was the bestseller, with extreme chakra cleansing for the supercharged life. You're also involved in NeoZoe, that I'd like you to tell us about that as well as things go on. Can you kind of break all this down, Marianne, and give us an idea of what you do, what your philosophy is? How do you handle patients? What do you do for them? Can you help us?
Yes, absolutely. First, thanks for having me on your show, Dr. Roscoe. It's an honor. And
thank you, ma'am.
You're welcome. And what I do is I try to help people, because in my practice, I'm always hearing, you're my last resort. And I understand that, because everybody exhausts the medical community. And if they're not getting better, or if they're still feeling their discomfort, they're still reaching out to say, what more can I do for myself? And there is so much more that you can do, because your body will whisper before it cries. And it will tell you little things are out of balance or what could be causing discomfort before it starts screaming. And
okay, very good way of putting it.
Yeah, because if you don't pay attention to the little things, they wind up being big things. How many of us have had something where you have a little discomfort in an area? It could be within your neck or within, you know, a knee, something
sure.
like that. And you're so busy throughout your day, you ignore it. and it happens, and then all of a sudden, you know, it's creeping up a little bit more and a little bit more and a little bit more, and you start to realize, wait a minute, there's something going on here. But by that point, you are in so much discomfort. If you would have taken care of it while it was first kind of, you know, sitting there with a little ding, 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 something's going on, you could fix it while it's small before it turns into something big, and recognizing that. And I like to give my clients the what and the why something's happening, because if you educate people, then they start doing their own research as well. I mean, I love how I call it Dr. Google. I'm a big fan, not because everybody gets an ailment and they go on Dr. Google, and next thing you know, they come in my office and they're starting to, you know, have their little freak out moments, I call it. Well, I have this and I have this and all the self-diagnosis stuff, and you could drive yourself crazy doing that. So I like to keep things simple, and I like to educate people, so then this way they can empower themselves to be able to have preventative health instead of dealing with it when something becomes a problem.
Yeah, I love the philosophy. And, you know, Marianne, in medicine, as a practicing physician, you know, again, and I think you as a practitioner also have a certain method how you handle your patients. And, you know, in medicine, we call it the four pillars, that overall when a patient comes in, just real briefly, you know, we listen to the patient. We let the patient tell us their story. You know, in medical terms, we talk about a history of present illness. Then we go through an examination process. We look, we touch, we examine the patient. And then the third pillar, of course, are diagnostic testings. You know, what seems to be appropriate here? And then the fourth pillar is decision making. I mean, that's how we've educated our doctors. We still currently do, you know, in that method. When you're seeing a client or you call them a patient, you know, what do you do? What is your process in helping them get well, maintaining their health, and educate them? Go ahead.
Well, it's very much similar to what you said, your four pillars. There's the biggest thing I think that's missed in medical today, when you go into an office, they don't listen to what the patient is saying. So to me, I find that as being number one, because if you ask the right questions, and sometimes it's what they're not saying, you have to get to the root of the problem. And I'll explain that more as we go into the show, but you have to listen to people definitely, get a nice case history if it's your first time, and learning what works for them, and then do what you say is the exam. That's exactly what I do through nutrition and muscle testing or medical massage, depending. And that's how I do my diagnostic testing. I don't have the fancy blood work, and I don't have, you know, the MRIs and the CT scans and all that. That's where I like the combination of combining Eastern medicine with Western medicine. You need both. You definitely do. And then decision-making, just what you said. You come up with a plan, and you also have to speak with your client to say what's workable for you. Not everybody can follow the same thing, and not one pill or one remedy or one thing is good for everybody. Everybody's body is unique. And just because one person does something doesn't mean that's for you. And to actually, like I said, educate the person about themselves and how to help themselves and give them the tools to do that. So it's basically the same four pillars. And to work as a team, you have to work as a team. Somebody could keep coming to your office with the same discomfort, same health issue, and you're helping them, but then you find out maybe there's no follow through, you know, and you have to be able to work as a team to say, I'm here to help you, but this is what you need to do to help yourself. And then it becomes a lifestyle change, and they incorporate that into their lives.
That's beautiful. And I think, you know, as far as that philosophy, that protocol, we're dealing with patients. It's the same thing. Whether you're holistic, whether you're in a traditional physician, it's the same thing. You know, the answer is within the patient. And if we don't spend that time trying to find out what the patient needs or what their problem is, we miss the boat. So I think you're really right on, you know, with regard to how you're handling, you know, your clientele list as well. You know, Marianne, traditional medicine, you know, basically what it is, you're going to see the doctor, you get pills, or even you go to some of the chiropractors and they have additional therapies that they, you know, put people in, whether it's a bathtub, whether it's some type of stimulation, you know, it's kind of an external thing. And then you hope for the results. With holistic medicine and that practice, do you not deal with more the natural physiology of the patient's body rather than trying to give them something external of that, trying to alter it? And I think, you know, you mentioned about, you know, listening and then, of course, being a team member and then having them buy into the process attempting to get better. And, you know, and again, I like your flow of, you know, your treatment. But indeed, I think even with, you know, alternative therapies, you still need the patient to buy in to wanting to get better and lifestyle change, even if it has to be diet. Do you agree with that?
Absolutely. When somebody comes in and they have a constant discomfort of any sort, you have to look
yes.
at, I look at somebody working not only on the physical level, but the emotional, mental, and spiritual level. What do I mean by that? If somebody's having a chronic issue and they have tried everything medically, you have to see where the root cause is. And that's where I come in, to find out what is the source. Many people have the medical community and they sit there, and I'll take a big one. You could have high blood pressure, big one, that can happen.
Sure,
and
diabetes.
We're so, yes, diabetes. And so used to treating the symptomology of something, and you treat the symptoms, but where is the source coming from? Is it from, you know, if it's physically, is it because the
sure.
primary pathways are blocked? What are primary pathways? You have five of them, and they're drainage pathways. So you have, like, your digestion and your intestines. Is that where it comes from? Or is it the liver that's out of balance? Or the kidney, or the lymph, or the lungs. Those are your five primary pathways. And I'll say it again, because your body can give you a hint right here. Digestion, which is your intestines, your liver, your kidneys, your lymph system, and your lungs. And if those become blocked, that's where illness starts to happen and the body starts to break down. So if you have something, you have to check to say, well, where's the source breaking down? Is it any of these pathways? Now, how will people know if they may have a blocked pathway or it's not working at optimal level? Because you have secondary drainage pathways. How many people deal with sinus issues? How many people deal with skin issues? And how many people deal with reproductive issues? Because that's where it will go if the primary pathways are blocked. And if you start seeing everybody having allergies and people with chronic sinus, they're like, I deal with this all the time. So they're taking their over-the-counter, you know,
yes.
something like Zyrtec
yeah.
and things like that. And you could say, well, certain people are very sensitive to that. So you have side effects of these drugs. And then that creates a domino effect. So people are like, well, what do I do? Well, the first thing I'm going to look at, and people might not know this, the small intestine, if it is not working at optimal levels, could be the problem of chronic sinus. And what does the small intestine do? That is where all of your nutrition is all absorbed in your body. Not your stomach. It's absorbed through the small intestine. So that way, if that's not an optimal level, that's one of the first places that you're going to look. And how do you do that? Be a topic. It's so taboo. Nobody wants to talk about bowel movements. Everybody goes. I don't care who you are. Everybody goes.
Right.
And why? Because that
right.
gets rid of the waste. Right there, and I hear it chronically, there's always a problem within that area, whether somebody's always constipated because they're on the run or it's not an optimal level or what they think is optimal, it really isn't. And you start educating people what to look for. And, you know, people come into my office, Dr. Roscoe, and I sit there and say, listen, when you go to a veterinarian's going to ask you to bring a stool sample because the animal can't talk about it. I'm not going to ask you to do that, but I'm going to ask you to talk about it because what you
Got
see
it.
In that bowl can tell you everything about your gut health very quickly.
And, you know, Marianne, well, you figure that's part of our elimination process. The same
Correct.
Thing with the urine. the urine can be an indicator also of metabolic issues. And Marianne, do you go ahead and get these things analyzed? You know, do you ever say, you know, we'll go ahead, we'll send a sample to the lab. Are you able to do that or request their family physician or provider doing something like that as well?
What I do is I educate. Now, you have some physicians that will work with alternative practitioners, and then you have some that won't. They kind of say, oh, no, you don't need that. So what I do is I work with physicians that want to work together to help, because that's the idea, is that East meets West medicine, and this way you can help a person on a whole, both sides. And if they don't, listen to what people say. And if I feel that something could be going on that should be analyzed, I will tell them there's either, so nowadays there's home testing that you can do and you can send it away. And if not, to ask your medical doctor about it, you know, and
sure.
to get them involved and to say, I think there could be a problem. Because how many times, and I hear this more nowadays, when you go into a physician's office, because I feel like insurance dictates how long you can stay with your patient, they don't get a proper understanding of everything. It's impossible if you're dealing with so many patients a day and you maybe get 10 minutes with each person. It's very hard to do that. And I feel that if a patient comes in and says, listen, I have this going on, you know, in my stool, the color of a stool, because there's different colors that mean different things. I want to get this checked. I think the physician at that point should listen to their patient and definitely get something checked. You know, if the doctor really feels, along with other symptomology, that it could potentially be a problem. And my job, too, besides elimination, people just look at the body's elimination, the physical elimination. But you also have to look at emotional, mental, and spiritual. What do I mean by that? Take this. If somebody's dealing with anger issues, say you have, I don't know, a family member, and you're constantly angry at them for whatever reason, and you're holding back those words, right? People
yes.
don't realize that manifest, that emotion will now manifest into something physical on the body. So when you're dealing, say, with words of rage, you'll see people might get a sore throat. And then they just wonder, why do I have the sore throat all the time? Why do I have it? Because these are words that are not being said. Turns into anger, and it's laying right in the throat, right where your vocal cords are. And then to make it even deeper, and just to a tidbit here,
go ahead,
if it's
please.
On the right, if it's on the right side of the throat, it's usually dealing with masculine energy on the body. So it's usually somebody that is masculine that you're not saying those words to. And on the left side is a female energy of the body. So it's usually a female related thing. And I find it funny because I used to work in corporate years ago, and I remember somebody calling out sick, and they were saying they had a sore throat and all. And I had mentioned this. I said, you know, on a side note, I said, I'm glad that you're staying home, get better. But, you know, is there anybody you're angry with? And I said, particularly, and I said, what side of the throat is it? And she said, the right side. I said, you know, any male figure in your life that you're angry at? And the phone went dead silent. And she was like, how do you know that? And I said, because your body's telling me that. And
wow.
so, it you know, it's not a matter of being psychic or reading this. Like people think, you know, alternative medicine years ago, they would call you a witch doctor. Oh, this is foo-foo and all that
sure.
stuff. But there is a lot of science that has been done. And these modalities have been around for centuries, even before actual x-rays, scanning the body, like with Reiki work and going down the body with energy. You can feel things through your hands, and people can be taught how to tap into their own energy so they can feel it. We all have this innate ability to heal, and especially the mind. The mind can heal the body. It really can. And if you fix that and you're cognizant of your own health, then it becomes preventative therapies for yourself. So this way, when you have all the fear-mongering that goes on right now with everything you see on media, you know, whether it's television, radio, social media, on the internet. If you keep reading things, this sits in your psyche. And next thing you know, oh my, do I have this? Do I have this? Well, if you keep talking about something you don't have, you can actually manifest that to yourself. So you want to
wow.
be empowered to be able to help yourself, to be able to heal yourself, and know that you have that innate ability because you do. And people don't realize that. You have more power over the mind telling yourself that you are well, whether it's through affirmations, whether it's, you know, when somebody calls you and you're always not feeling well. I had a friend who was really good, and he would always turn around, and I would know that he wasn't feeling well. I'd be like, how are you doing today? He goes, I am great. Everything is wonderful, even if he wasn't. Why? Because if he kept telling himself that, when you speak a thought, if you're thinking it, doesn't really, the body doesn't hear it. But once you speak a thought, it goes around, if you will, out your mouth, picture it going to the back of your head, into your subconscious brain, and your body just heard that. So
well,
that's
Mary
why
Ann,
you always
you know,
want to speak positively.
Excellent. I think being positive, there's a lot to that. You know, with regard to health care, you know, how do people know that maybe they need an alternative approach to their health care, to their body? You know, is it something that, you know, they have to be in crisis with their blood pressure or their sugars? Then they say, hey, my medicine's not working. Let me try something else. Are there cues that they should know that they could find out that maybe I need another opinion coming to someone like you? You know, or is it just the lack of well-being, the consistency and the maintenance of their health? You know, we want them to self-diagnose somewhat, and we want them to be aware. When do they, you know, turn to that alternative practitioner?
Well, that is a really good question, Dr. Roscoe, really good. It's up to the individual. So what do I mean by that? You have people that are preventative. They watch, you know, we always hear about diet and exercise, but you have to add sleep in that. You have to add an emotional health. Are you happy all the time? Are you doing things that fulfill your life all the time? And if you don't have that, that's when the body can break down. So there's two ways to look at it. There's preventative, which I always think I should be the first person that you want to seek out, but I always hear I'm the last person because they've tried everything else. So my advice to everybody is you have to do what's right for you. And I know for myself, I wouldn't want to wait. I've been there before. That's what got me into alternative medicine. That's exactly what got me into it, is because my health deteriorated. I didn't listen to all of those things that I should have listened to.
All right.
And I had gotten very sick, and so much so that I developed a drug allergy to a pharmaceutical medication that almost took my life. And it took me years to come back from that. And now, since I will tell you, my last allopathic medicine, which is pharmaceutical or anything over the counter, was February 1st, 2000. Why?
Wow.
Because I'm allergic to everything that people take, like candy, like Tylenol or this and that. I can't do that. So I was fortunate enough to be guided, and I really think an innate ability because I wanted to get well, to alternative practices. And when I seen what it was about, I had somebody say to me, well, if you get the flu, Marianne, what are you going to do? And I didn't know. I said, I rarely get sick. This is so unusual. It's happened. And then she's like, you should start taking classes. You should go to school for yourself. Well, I did that, and I fell in love with the science of it. And when I fell in love with the science, I said, your body gives you clues. How does it give you clues? Well, I told you about the intestinal tract. How many people are constipated? How many people, you know, there's people that don't want to use a restroom facility in their job to do, I call it being number one in a number two business. You have to be, because people are shy. They don't want to go. But if your body needs to expel those toxins, you should really go. Because if you don't and you hold on to them, or you're not drinking enough water, you become extremely constipated. And there's all environmental issues, too, that can cause that. That is the number one thing that can tell you something's wrong. The second thing, I tell everybody, look at your skin. Everybody's looking in the mirror every day. Your skin is a roadmap of your entire body. Do you get acne on your face? If you get acne on your face, where is it? Is it in the middle of the cheeks? That can indicate you might have lung issues, or you might not be breathing to optimal levels. It could be, okay, is it above the top lip? Well, that could be, in women's cases and female cases, reproductive issues. You might see that, you know, every month during their monthly cycles. Or you could have it on the chin or the top of the forehead, and now you have colon issues or digestive. And if something is building up, your body will be a clue that something's going on. And what people find fascinating is when you are born, you are not born with any marks on your body, except if you had a birthmark. That's different. But you don't have moles. You don't have beauty marks. You don't have any of that. Well, why does that happen? Well, when you get something that's deep embedded that causes fever and having that, you have what they call acupuncture meridian points through your body. And when you look in a mirror, now everybody's probably going to be naked doing this after your show, but stand in front of the mirror and you can see, you can follow a beauty mark like from your face and follow the lines down your arms. And you will find out that a beauty mark is not just a beauty mark. If you trace them on your arms or your hands and you start seeing a beauty mark, you'll find out they go in straight lines up and down your body. And why? Because they're coming out on the meridian point that may have had the illness. So if you had a bad fever and it was coming, say, something from the liver, you might find these on the liver meridian. And beauty marks, I think we call them beauty marks because it's beautiful. You got rid of what was bothering you. But it leaves a little like thing saying, hey, you had this. And your skin can tell you a lot about your body. So can your feet. Reflexology is huge in your feet, where a callus is not just a callus. It may be from rubbing on your shoes, it may be. But if it's a long-term thing, depending, you could have a line going down the middle of your foot, like just from your toes maybe to the middle of your foot, and that's a callus. Well, you have to look at that. That's called the bronchial helper. Do you have issues with asthma? Do you have issues with chronic sinus that you always have a post-nasal drip? Do you have this? These clues come out on your body anywhere. Your fingernails. Do you have lines in your nails? Do you have thick lines? Some of that could be vitamin deficiencies. If you have different spots on your nails, you have the ability to look at your teeth, your skin, your eyes, the, you know, your daily bowel movements, how much urination, what color these things are. Your body will give you clues every day that something is out of balance, if it is.
Really
good. You just need to pay attention.
Mary Ann, you know, you're talking about these diagnostic elements. What science are you using for that? Is that acupuncture? Is it reflexology? You know, what science are we using here to identify, you mentioned about meridians, about acne on the cheeks, et cetera. What is the connection with the rest of the body? You know, what is the science that teaches that? Can you help me with that?
Yes, acupuncture deals with all the meridians, and so does energy work, and that you have energy work can help open up chakras. And chakras, think of them like spinning wheels, and you have seven of them up your body, and they're spinning, and picture them going one way, but then they're going counterclockwise. How do you know your energy is off? One is fatigue. That will tell you something's not right. Sometimes people do a deep sigh, like they take a deep breath or they're going, you know, like that kind of feeling.
Sure.
And they don't realize sometimes that's energy. So when you have energy work, I work a lot with reading people's energy. And then there's also applied kinesiology. It's called AK for short. It's applied kinesiology, which is muscle testing, where you are actually muscle testing areas that are related to the meridians of the body through acupuncture, whether somebody has a nutritional deficiency. Do they have a protein deficiency?
Sure.
Is it a carb?
Marianne, can
is
we
it...
hold off right now on that?
Yeah.
Mark Mancini is getting bombarded with questions. So let's hold off on the applied kinesiology right now. Let's go to Mark Mancini in Los Angeles. Mark, can you help us with these questions?
Yeah, I got Stacy Rosenthal coming out of California. She said I got like 5-6 of them, so I'll get through them.
Get you back to that great interview
you got. She said she had a root canal and they hit the bone. She had pain near her sinus. It was an infection top of the old root canal. Specialist redid it, but it was the bone that was affected. And according to the dentist, she said it will heal. Is that right? Sometimes when you get a root canal, it more or less hits the bone and you get an infection.
Sure. I can take that, Mary Ann. We talk about a root canal. Our teeth have two parts. We have the crown and then we have the root. The root is the blood vessel and nerve supply to the tooth. When there tends to be decay or infection through the enamel, into that root area, then there is a procedure called a root canal. It's an endodontic procedure. And what it is where the endodontist, who's the specialist that handles these, especially if it's a molar, where they take small little files, almost like an acupuncture tool, and place that within the canal. They will, of course, make an opening, an access opening in the dental area through the tooth, identify these areas, and then with these long files, they clean out the infection, the nerve, and then, of course, the blood vessels. At times, Mark, and if I understand the question, if they've gone through that, when they're doing that procedure, and the, of course, bone holds the tooth, the bone can be damaged. As long as her professional has used sterile technique and made sure there's no infection, there's no broken instrument in that canal, this process should heal, and she should be able to save the tooth. But it is, you know, a very delicate process, and again, you want to go to the right doc. As long as things are sterile, as they should be, she should be okay. If this was a top tooth and he penetrated the sinus, that's another issue. That's a more complicated issue. She may need to have another professional involved to clean the sinus from the root canal material. So it is complicated, but indeed, if she went to the right doctors, they did the right procedures, maybe had a little bit of an adverse effect, she should heal. But it will take a little bit of time. Go ahead.
Yeah, a lot of great comments coming in. Ralph coming out of Pittsburgh, is Navage good for sinuses?
Tell me that again.
Is Navage good for sinuses?
Is that Navage?
Navage. I don't want to
Navage,
butcher that.
That's that. Yeah, no, that's okay. Navage, sure it is. You know, and that's, again, it's just an irrigating system. You know, with regard to cleansing our nose, cleansing our sinus, one way to improve the health non-medically of that area is to do a little bit of rinsing. And that's what Navage is about, where one would go in, they would use warm salt water, and it would rinse one side of the nares, and then it's brought back through the other side. Again, you have to use, you know, very mild buffer salt water, some warm salt water, but not doing it on a chronic basis, probably once, twice a week, because you dry out the nasal membranes, which could indeed lead to scabbing, crusting, and bleeding. Go ahead.
Gail from Clearwater, Florida, regular on the show. Hi, Doc. This guest is amazing. I heard her in Philadelphia.
Wonderful.
Marianne is an inspiration. Janine from Vail, Colorado says, your show is really picking up steam here in the state of Colorado. Keep it going, Doc. Gary from Spokane, Washington, basically says, I've been married for 25 years. Why do I keep getting up in the morning and having to take a piss? My wife doesn't need to go. Is men different than women? How come men have to go to the restroom 3 times, 4 times a night, and the women just probably don't? What is the cause of that?
Marianne, do you have any insight into that?
It's both the same for men and women. However, men, and depending what's going on with their health, you have prostate issues could be a big one with the urination,
right,
and the flow and all of that through nighttime. But you also have to realize, too, how much water do you drink, or what kind of beverages are you drinking maybe 2 to 3 hours before you go to sleep? Why do I say that? Because when you lay down, your kidneys actually work differently than when you're standing upright, and it will actually pull the excretions of the liquids out faster while you're laying down. So if you're having that issue, you could have several issues. It could be something as simple as, you know, your intake of liquid before going to bed could be a lot higher than hers. Or
sure.
Could it be something like prostate or something like that? But I always try to go the less is more approach, see if there's something that
sure.
you're physically doing.
Yeah.
Behavior.
John from I'll throw two more and let you get back to the great interview.
Sure.
John from Utica, New York, basically says the symptoms of diabetes, is it just basically you become tired or can they just check it through the blood? What are the symptoms of the diabetic? Wow, these questions.
Mary, you want me to handle that, Marianne?
You can handle that, sure.
Sure. You know, as far as diabetes, yes, you know, fatigue can be an issue. Of course, you know, their health can tend to worsen. They can be more prone to infection. They can be more prone to having added on weight, all right? And the thing has to do with their insulin production. And that's in a gland called the pancreas. And that's what diabetes is all about. It's about the change in insulin production. And Marianne, do you work with that as well, hormonally, or helping improve pancreatic health, decreasing diabetic symptoms? Is that part of a holistic approach of care?
Absolutely it is. And a lot of times you find it of a breakdown of a digestion issue starting for that. And then also there's something that people don't realize. Here's your body whispering. If people urinate, and they see a lot of bubbles in their urine, a lot.
Yes.
It could be that the kidneys are excreting too much protein, which is also an early sign, could be a sign that something's going on with your insulin resistance.
Yeah, very good. And, again, I would say if one is suspicious of diabetes or has a family history, rather than try to, you know, Google the Internet, let's go to the healthcare provider. You know, we do have excellent diagnostic testing through blood, through urine, to go ahead and make the appropriate diagnosis with the type of diabetes one may have. Before we get into, like Marianne mentioned, to start with, the complicated issues with neuralgias, nerve damage, they start to lose their vision. Let's take care of the problem early on, as opposed to when the symptoms have gotten more serious and there's tissue damage. Would you agree with that, Marianne?
Absolutely, because people don't realize type 2 diabetes is, in my opinion, becoming an epidemic. You're seeing it amongst men and women and children now, happening younger. And if you take charge of it, and you could find out the source of it while you're treating the symptoms of it, you can be able to reverse type 2 diabetes. Type
yes.
2. And I strictly say
type 2.
So,
and improve the quality of your organism. And that's what this is about. You know, the healthcare issue is to improve the quality of our tissues to help them function as physiologically normal as they should. Go ahead, Mark.
I'll throw one more and let you get back to the interview. Barry from Cranston, Rhode Island says, can I just cancel my insurance and listen to you guys every week? I can send you a subscription.
That would be great. I would need to have Marianne with me. Marianne on with me every week. I think she's too busy for that. So tell her not to cancel it yet. So thank you.
That's funny.
I love it. What else do you have, Mark? Are you okay for now?
Denise from San Francisco listening, saying hi. Robin from Warren, Ohio says another great show. Keep up the great work. I'm so glad I'm blessed to hear this show each and every week. Boy, you get the same, pretty much the same listeners, and then you pick up more and more, it seems like, Doc.
Well,
I'm blessed to produce
well, thank
this.
You. Well, thank you. I mean, having great guests like Marianne, I think really improves the quality of what we're trying to do. You know, Marianne, the purpose of the show is to help people understand a little bit about their health care, give them good guests that can talk about things. Marianne, some of our listeners don't have health insurance. They don't go to a provider. They have no place to go to ask questions. We've tried to fill that gap a wee little bit, as you can, you know, you've heard. What I'd like to do is, Marianne, you know, as far as proceeding, I have a couple other things I'd like to talk about. And again, the first thing is acupuncture. Do you do that?
I don't do acupuncture. I do acupressure. And it has the same philosophy as with the energy work. I'm just not using the needle. I had a thing about needles.
Can you talk about that? And, you know, what do you do for the patient? What are the results? How long-lasting are the results of your treatment? Could you help us with that?
Absolutely. Well, first of all, if people come for different reasons. So if you're coming for, say, a medical massage, what does that mean? People are like, what's the different types of massage? And massage can be very important beside acupressure because and acupuncture and all, because medical massage, it's something that somebody comes in, they have a shoulder pain, they have a back pain, they have joint pain, things like that. And what we do is a neuromuscular evaluation. So then this way you can be able to see where is the problem coming from. You know, somebody comes in and they're saying, oh, you know, my neck is hurting. But is it the neck or is it your deltoid muscles? Could it be part of cranial sacral? Can it be different things? So we establish where that is. And medical massage, the reason why I specialize in that, because it combines the best of sports massage. You have deep tissue massage, myofascial release, neuromuscular therapy, passive joint range of motion, and muscle flexibility stretching. And by when you assess musculoskeletal dysfunction, myofascial restrictions, and postural deviations, medical massage techniques can help bring the body back into balance, relieve the stress, and eliminate muscular discomfort. And explaining to somebody, is it because they have the neck pain? Is it the way they're sitting all day? Is it their screen on their computer, they're looking down at it instead of looking up? The big one is people are constantly looking down on their mobile phones or their tablets, and you see a lot of problems now with the neck. You take all of these different things of the body, and you try to fix them. Now, if it's not just on the physical level, that's when I told you about applied kinesiology, which is muscle testing, or you could do what I do is called diagnostic response, where you're going into 35 different points of the body, similar to muscle testing, and working with the client on the table to find your discomfort or if you feel a muscle that is inflamed. And that can link to you what's going on deeper into the body. And what you're going to do is you're going to work with the person. Reflexology is another big one. How can people help themselves? You ready for this one? If you have sinus problems and they're constantly having sinus issues, it's a big thing. The tips of all of your fingers, when you look at the palm of your hand and you look at your pinky, your ring finger, your middle finger, your pointer, and your thumb, the tops of them, you could take one hand and the other side, you take the inside of your thumb, and you start massaging that pad, the top pad of each finger. And you might find it to be really sore when you do it this way. You're doing it with the side of your finger, so you get like a fight, if you will, with your thumb that you're working on each pad. That right there can stimulate every sinus. You could get it sometimes if they're constantly dripping. Sometimes you could get that to stop. If it's a dry sinus, you could start clearing your nose just by simply working the tips of your fingers. And even your hands mimic your feet so that the tops, the pads of your toes also are for the sinus. So if you're having that type of discomfort, if you're having, you're in a place and you realize you might have ate something wrong or something and you're feeling nauseous, we call, if you look at your pointer finger and you hold up your hand and your thumb, it looks like an L. Well, in that L, we call it, it's like the web of your between your thumb and your first finger. Yeah. We call that the magic V. Why? Because you could take that and put your thumb in there and you could rotate it gently. And that is some of the reflex points to your stomach. So it can help relieve nausea or if you're having indigestion. Every point on the hand is a point on the body. It's a map of your body. So is your face. So is your feet. So when people's feet ache, you know how they say, oh, if my feet are sore, my whole body is sore? That's true.
Yes.
And what you could do is while you're sitting there watching TV or reading a book, take one foot and start massaging those areas. And you will find by doing that same cutting motion with your thumb on your feet, you will find what's going on. So take, say, if you have your big toe down to your heel, to your instep of your foot. If you start going up and down that, that resembles your entire spine of your body. So you'll know from the bottom of the foot, from where you have your sacral part of your spine all the way to the top of your big toe, which is the cervical part, you can work those sore areas out. And by doing that, you are sending energetic therapy through your own body to help heal yourself. It's that easy.
Well, Marianne, you know what it sounds like to me, you know, we could be a very good, you know, if I handle sinus disease, allergy disease, you know, the runny nose, nasal obstruction, nasal polyps, possibly I could do a traditional approach and then quite possibly have my patient come in and see someone like you for an alternative approach so we could work together on the patient and hopefully be far more successful. Do you have any thoughts on that?
Yeah, I do, because that's a great area. Because how many people, first of all, are afraid to get in a dentist chair? I know I am. And
sure.
I have to tell you, I have been blessed to this day, knock on wood, I have not had as much as a filling. So people are like, well, how can you not even have as much as a filling? I don't know. I've been blessed with good teeth. I will tell you that. However, there, because of my personal circumstance, I cannot have Novocaine. So that's why I am a stickler about my teeth, because I'm like, God, if something happens, what do I do? But there are practitioners that can sit at the bottom of that chair by their feet, and you could hold different nerve endings to the different toes, the bottoms of the toes, to where you're working to help deaden the pain. And it might not get rid of it entirely, but it can make it manageable. And if you are a person that you don't have that person working on your feet, you could do it on your hands. And here's a good thing I could tell you, because you might get a kick out of this, Doc, is that your teeth represent every energetic relationship in your body to a gland or to an organ. And so what happens is, if you're having a problem with a certain tooth and they're constantly having it, like say the big ones could be in the back, the bottom, I'll say the bottom jaw or the top jaw and the molars. People have a lot of issues in these areas. And those resemble either the heart or the small intestine. So if you're a person who has problems within that area and you have constipation issues, that might be tied together as your body whispering to say, hey, I'm always having a problem with this certain tooth. Could it be related to the small intestines? And if I start working on that and start clearing them out, can I? Will this discomfort constantly go away on this particular tooth? You have to look at that.
Wow.
And on the bottom of your tooth, people come to me and they're laying down. And if I'm looking at the bottom of their feet, if you look between just right where your toes connect to the bottom of your feet, there are two lines on those toes going from the middle, the baby toe all the way to the first toe. The top line represents the upper jaw. The bottom line represents the lower jaw. And the left foot is the left side of the mouth. The right foot is the right side of the mouth. And when people come to my table, if I've never seen them and I'm not looking in their mouth, I might say to them, hey, have you had a long-term root canal or possible an extraction, or do you have a long-term cavity there? And they'll say, how do you know that? And I say, well, because I'm looking at your foot, because that line will discolor a little bit in that line to show you what happened on the body. It's fascinating.
Marianne, is that reflexology? Is that what you're referring to there?
Yes, I am. And reflexology is a compression massage that's applied to the feet and the hands that stimulate the reflex zones and help restore the body's normal physiological functions. It can reduce tension. It can alleviate the effects of stress and assist in bringing greater balance in the body and the mind. It's really a wonderful tool to have.
We're running out of time. Mark, I have one more topic. Marianne, I would like to talk to you about the flu situation now in America. I didn't want to get into COVID or monkeypox yet. Maybe for another show. But what about flu? We have people dying from flu this flu season. What are your thoughts? What can we do with our listeners maybe for some prevention or to maintain their health if they were to get a flu? Can you help me with that?
Absolutely. First of all, prevention is key. So when you're coming into these winter months here, which is cold and flu season, it always has been every year, is that you can, first of all, sleep. Make sure you get adequate sleep because that's where your body can have the most healing. Okay. So if people are burning the candles at both ends, your body, if you start feeling fatigue, you might start feeling fatigue before a flu would hit. You could actually stop it in its tracks by one, might want to take extra vitamin C or add vitamin C in your diet, eat oranges, have, you know, a glass of orange juice, something simple.
Improve that.
You could also, a good preventative drink is taking warm water in the morning and putting some lemon juice in that and possibly some honey and maybe a little bit of apple cider vinegar. And you drink that, and that is a great detox preventative every day because that will help keep your pathways clean for preventative. Now, if you get the flu or a cold, not only do you have your over-the-counter things that most people will do, but you also can use essential oils. People forget about aromatherapy. You can go to the store. You can get a humidifier or a mister right, you know, at your local pharmaceutical place. And when you do that, you could take it, fill it up with water, and you can get like tea tree essential oil, lavender essential oil, and you could have pine essential oil. And you could put these different things by one drop. Less is more in aromatherapy because if you do more, it becomes a stimulant, not a relaxant. So you got to be careful of that. You put one drop in that mister and you have that always in the room, even tea tree oil, as you sleep and you breathe, that can help because tea tree oil is an antifungal, antiviral, and antibacterial. So you have that in the air to help you breathe in and to get out of your sinus cavity what's going on. You want to have hot liquids. You want to drink a lot of liquids. You definitely want water. You do not want to become dehydrated. That's the first thing that can get you ill. And you want to be able to eat a balanced diet. And if you're having a lot of phlegm and mucus and all, you want to stay away from dairy products and stuff for that duration because that can exacerbate symptoms like that. You want to be able to eat healthy and have that, you know, chicken soup is so wonderful while you're sick in the broth. And to be able to keep yourself at warm, if you are cold, you know, make sure you wear some warm clothing. Layer up your clothing if you're always cold. This way you always can take the layers off if you're getting hot. You want to keep your, you want to love your body, you want to love your mind, and you want to take charge of your health before anything should happen.
Wow, that's super. I mean, that's quite a bit of information, you know, that you've given us. And, you know, as far as in general, do you notice things that you do and you tell your patients, do they change seasonally? You know, we're going into the flu winter. What happens in spring? What would your message be to your patients or clients as we get into the spring season? You know, would it be something similar to avoid the asthma, to the, you know, runny noses, itchy, watery eyes, if someone's having a summertime rash? What would you tell them at that point, Marianne?
Well, it's a great question. I would tell them, first of all, when all the flowers go into bloom here up in the Northeast, that's a very big time for sinus issues. So what do I do? For preventative, while I'm working on myself in the wintertime, I'm going to make sure I'm at optimal digestion, the best of my ability, so sinus does not become my secondary pathway that it comes out on. Same thing with the skin. And also, I take extra vitamin D. In the wintertime, D3, is because you're not in the sun as much. And vitamin D3 can work very well for the immune system. And also, you might be looking at elderberry. That's another big one for the cold and flu season.
Yeah.
And that can help prevent, if your body's not broken down by springtime, that can help your body's immune system have a normal immune response to the allergens that haven't been in the spring. And you might cut back on your vitamin D at that point because you're getting more sun. You're going to be out more, you know, especially if you're in the Northeast.
Yes.
And you take cognizant of the weather. And you might change your diet. Like in the wintertime, you could be eating more root vegetables and all because that's what's in season. That's what your body can break down. Where when you get to spring and summer, you might be eating more like salads and greens and things that your body can break down more gently. So you eat according to the season as well.
Marianne, what about protein? What are your thoughts on protein intake?
Protein intake is very important. I see a lot of people with protein deficiencies because it helps build healthy muscle tissue. It helps the body heal. It also helps people feel less pain. And I don't mean take an abundance of protein. Some people like to do that in the shakes and all, but some of the shakes you have to see, is it whey protein? Whey protein is very hard on your kidneys versus like a pea protein or a vegan protein. You want to see how your body digests things, and to be able to have the protein can help with a lot of things in your body. So you definitely need protein to heal. You do.
Wonderful. Mark, what do you have, Mark?
Well, we're down to 4 minutes. Let me run two questions by here. Sydney from Roxbury, Massachusetts, chiming in. I guess it's a question for Mary Ann. I notice if I get a massage from a male, it's more deeper. It's just, is it in the hands more so than a woman giving a massage?
Well,
that's a
question. It is a great question. It really depends on the practitioner. If you get it by a man, it depends on their training as well and what type of massage you're getting, whether it's medical massage, Swedish massage, shiatsu. And it really depends on the training, and it also depends on where your discomfort level is. But I've been told that I should ensure my thumbs are quite deadly, is what I've been told. When you have a problem. So it really is up to the practitioner. It doesn't really matter, because there is a lot of female practitioners that probably could cause more discomfort than the men. It's really on the training, the knowledge, and there are some really good practitioners out there that work with different issues. So different massages require different pressure.
Okay,
Marianne,
one more question.
Can I interrupt 1 second, Mark? With regard to the massages, you know, you mentioned a medical massage as opposed to a Swedish massage. What are the indications for those, Marianne?
Well, Swedish massage is more your general systemic manipulation of soft tissues. It's more your relaxation, and it induces a state of deep relaxation and blood circulation. So it's a perfect way, if you're stressed out, to relax the mind and body. Medical is dealing more to eliminate muscular discomfort by dealing with more deeper therapy, deep tissue, myofascial release, sports massage, passive stretching while you're massaging, so that can remove the restrictions on the body and deal with an actual discomfort, where one could be more for relaxing the mind and it feels great. One is more medical, getting right to the source of the issue.
Beautiful. Mark, go ahead, please.
Yep, I'll throw one more and then we'll wrap it up. Don coming out of Kirkland, Washington says, you guys are talking about vitamin C a lot. Particular orange juices I get are, you know, there's a Donald Duck orange juice. It's a real good one. I don't know if you guys are familiar with that. But what is the difference between having the pulp and not having the pulp? God, these questions keep coming.
Marianne, do you want to handle that one on digestion?
Yes, please.
Oh,
you want me to handle? I'm sorry. Yes,
yeah,
it is undigested. It is undigestive, and having pulp or not could also depend on taste, by the way. Some people love the pulp or not. But it's just getting it's just like if you're eating an orange, you're getting the pulp in the orange, which when your system could break that down, sometimes you are getting more of the absorption of a vitamin C, and particularly on taste. But it's just like when people do juicing and they're extracting the actual juice from the actual fruit, it's more penetrative, and you know what you're getting is the actual energy of that fruit as well and its nutrients.
Excellent. And, you know, the other thing I wanted to mention, you know, with orange juice has a tremendous amount of sugar that we need to watch how much sugar is in that glass of orange juice. If you look at your labeling, there's almost as much sugar in orange juice as there is in a glass of Coca-Cola. Go ahead, Mark.
Well, I'll tell you, we can go on for hours with this great show, and hopefully we get Marianne back in here. As we wrap this up, Marianne, if people want to get in touch with you, your book and everything, how would they get in touch with you?
They can do that by going to my website, which is NeoZoe, that's NeoZoe.com, or they can call the office directly at 732 713-0123. Just because you're not in the area doesn't mean that we can't do nutrition. I do teleconferencing as well. And you also can find me online on Facebook, Twitter, and all of the avenues of social media.
Great job. Mark, is a...
Mark, let's ask her.
Go ahead.
Have her back on the show.
Yes, I would love to come back. It would be an honor.
thank you very much. Go ahead, Mark.
As I give it over to you, Doc, prayers are going for you with the, you know, the flu thing going around there in Pittsburgh, and I'm just so blessed you're back and praying for your health.
Thank you.
And it's getting better. I know last week with the throat and everything, and the listeners were really sending things to you, and so that's great. Let everybody know how they can get a hold of you if they're in the Pittsburgh area,
sure.
Your staff, and everything there is just so great.
Well, thank you for the compliments. It's GJRMD308@outlook.com. Thank you for allowing us into your home today. Happy holidays, and we'll continue to do this, Mark. What are your thoughts?
Next week, the guest, and I know you got a nice topic before we close it.
Yes. We're going to look at colon cancer. We're going to look at home testing for colon cancer. It's something that maybe you've seen on the TV. They're advertising these home tests. I'd like to make my listeners aware of that, the downside, the upside, what these tests are going to tell you about colon cancer. And then again, what are the symptoms? What can be done? Early detection. So that's what we have on tap for next week with Dr. Malik.
Well, for Marianne Costello, Dr. Greg Roscoe, yours truly, Mark Mancini, saying catch the archive version on blogtalkradio.com/Mancini Sports. Tell all your friends about it. We'll be back next week, same time, same channel. And thank you very much for tuning in, and have a blessed weekend.
Thank you.
Thank you.